Haskell, Wellington, New Zealand, April 19, 1893. Elder Haskell, Willie has just come in with letters received from Sydney and other places, and after the reading of the letters, when I resume my writing, it is sometimes so mislaid with other matter that I cannot find it. In this way, I often lose important communications for the time being. I had just stated I would copy from my diary. February 6th. I awoke very early this morning, and my thoughts were very active in regard to what we could do for the inhabitants of this place, and for those located in towns from 10 to 20 and 40 miles around Kao and in surrounding country. I know there is earnest work to be done, and earnest, well-directed effort will develop a class of people with hungering, thirsting souls for the truth. If those who have accepted the truth will live the truth and present the truth as it is in Jesus, they will find a response from many hearts. But a work is to be done by the believers. They need that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Then, too, our hearts must be brought under the controlling power of the truth. It is living and acting the love of the truth that carries the genuine credentials with it, having union one with another and love for one another. Thus is the truth made definite and practical. The truth that works by love is not a dry set of theories, a hard legal religion which puts everyone who claims to believe it in a straitjacket, developing very little attractiveness and spiritual beauty. Preconceived ideas and notions will not find their way to human hearts, but the love of Jesus Christ in all meekness, kindliness, and forbearance will commend itself to those who are not converted to the truth. There are opinions, stolid and immoldable, that have lived altogether too long. The love of Jesus in the heart works outwardly in all patience and gentleness and kindness and love. When shall we learn that every mind is not exercised in the same way? Difficulties suggest themselves to one mind that do not come to another. The train of thought that has been cherished, the prejudice existing, the little feelings one against another, must be all melted away with the love of Jesus Christ brought into the heart and life and revealed in the character. The Lord Jesus has made all provisions for the activity of business life. None are justified in laziness or indolence. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. The varied branches of business are to be conducted in such a way as shall bear the inspection of God, and then moral integrity will be preserved, and those who believe the truth will reveal its sanctifying influence upon life and character. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Said Christ, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. John 17, verse 15. Piety and goodness and truth and righteousness may be the principles running through the whole business career. There are temporal duties to be done in this world, and the example of Daniel is given us as to the possibility of this business being done with strictest integrity. There are those who love and fear God, who will not taint and corrupt their souls for any bribe, for any consideration. February 25th. At 11 a.m., I spoke in the little chapel at Kao. The thoughts that flow from my pen now, then flowed from my tongue. I opened my lips and the words came forth. I discovered in the congregation countenances which had been presented before me, who were not right before God. They must be born again, or they would never enter the kingdom of God. They had not cherished love and the tender sympathies of Jesus Christ. They had constituted themselves as hard, denunciatory, overbearing critics. They carry not in their hearts the love of Jesus. They know not by experience what constitutes true religion. Oh, the transforming grace of Christ must work upon the human affections, sanctifying the entire man. Saith Paul to Timothy, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are his. And, Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 to 21. Everyone who is in the service of Christ will carry on his own soul the burden of souls. for not one can ignore his responsibility or refuse to cooperate as the living agent with the heavenly intelligences and not be brought under condemnation as a slothful servant. In our connection with the unsaved, we are to be God's true, interested, devoted workers to bring souls under the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, and thus act with all their interested capabilities for the interest of Christ's kingdom. Souls are perishing out of Christ. What means this careless unconcern? The Lord has given to every man his work, talents to improve, that all the wise generalship should be put in operation, all the tact and ability to multiply the talents of securing the enlistment of souls under Christ's banner, that they in their turn shall with faith and with love for souls communicate to others that which they have learned in the school of Christ. God requires that everyone who represents him shall not be dwarfs, but growing up to the full stature of men and women in Christ Jesus, that they shall be fully qualified to be laborers together with God, and through the earnest cultivation of the Christian graces may win souls to the truth. The Lord has not withdrawn his Holy Spirit from those who have not accepted the truth. In the way the truth has been presented to those not of our faith, it has tasted so strongly of the dish that it was not palatable, and was rejected, and the truth was stigmatized and made of none effect by the Spirit developed, as being the cause of the unchristian representation. Everyone who believes is to be a savor of life unto life. His influence is to be fragrant and pure and undefiled, and purified from selfishness. Oh, to be accepted in the Beloved! What a work! Ye are complete in him. Colossians 2, verse 10. Sunday, February 26th. I awoke early, lit my candle, and after a season of prayer, went to writing testimonies for this church. I know they will not receive them, but I will do my duty and leave the result with God. If I present testimonies of reproof, they will, in their present condition, say that I have the same spirit that I reprove in them. I have never met a people yet that have intelligence as these have who are completely blinded as to their spiritual state before God. They cannot distinguish that there is any difference between the messengers the Lord sends and messages of reproof he gives them to bear, than the tirade they give to one and another who do not please them. Oh, how Satan triumphs to see such satanic attributes developed in those who flatter themselves that they have a high moral standing before God and are peculiarly better than the average mortals in the world. My heart is yearning over the younger members of Father Hare's family who are unconverted. I pray for them at the family altar, and the Lord gives me much freedom. Well, I do not know as this will be very encouraging to you, but I am trusting in the Lord that he will work. This terrible Phariseeism must be broken, and these souls seek the Lord as common sinners, else they will entirely fail of perfecting a Christian character and will be lost. I see Willie has written to you, so I need not write further. We are so thankful for the grace of Christ given to us, and we see so much to be done. Laborers are needed. Many who have had the truth and have feasted upon it for years should now be able to communicate light to other minds, and they will be pronounced slothful servants if they do not do this work. They may think they are not qualified, nor fitted, for the work. If they consecrate themselves to God, he will give them wisdom, tongue, and utterance, that their adversaries will not be able to gainsay or to resist. The Lord will not expect and claim of the man entrusted with two talents the improvement of five. All he asks of men, women, and youth is to take hold of one line of work after another as it presents itself to them. But every soul must have his spiritual senses awake to the wants of the cause of God and give himself and his entrusted capital of means to advance the kingdom of God. There are places and opportunities where Christians with an experience can labor. The Lord calls for all who have reasoning powers to use their reason with a purpose to save souls, and they will cultivate their talents in the exercise of their powers in the service of God.
When I heard of the enlargements they calculated to make in Battle Creek, to the college and the tabernacle, I wanted to shout across the Pacific, "Come over and see what destitution is revealed in these countries." As we enter the large cities, we see the truth must be born, and as yet nothing, so to speak, has been done. The standard of truth has not been unfurled. I will say to our brethren in America, please give us a standing place by furnishing workers and means to warn these cities of the soon coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When I see how much means is being invested in America and how little is apportioned to build up the work in these countries, I inquire. Are not souls just as precious here as in America, where the light of truth has been shining in steady beams upon that land for years? Are there not souls to be saved here? Are there not those who will come to New Zealand and Australia? Are there not families who will consider the situation and feel the necessities of these new fields? Will you add building to building for convenience to supply imaginary wants, when there is need of buildings before anything can be done? From the light given me of God, it is duty for our brethren in America to consider this field in a much broader sense than they have yet done. You have everything provided which you need, and now you should set to work to supply the necessities of these new fields. You must make much larger plans than you have yet done. This is just as much a part of God's great moral vineyard as America, and demands that God's money shall come to them here, to find even a standing place, to begin the work. I am just stirred to the very depths of my soul. Curtail in America, bind about in some places, and give the work a chance to widen here. I do not have the least hesitancy in calling, in a decided voice, for means for our school and meeting houses. Oh, how my heart aches to see these large cities, such as Melbourne and Christchurch, New Zealand, and so on, with scarcely anything done in them. We want men who are capable of holding the people. Then we want workers, men and women, as missionaries, to come and hold the minds to the points of interest. Where are the believers of present truth? Why do they not put themselves in the vineyard of the Lord? How shall they answer in the judgment that they have not communicated the riches of His grace to those ready to perish? I want some men who can preach the word with power. Why not let Elder Corliss come as soon as possible? He can go into the cities and work. Let us have ministerial ability. It is needed here if anywhere. Yours truly.